So we're about to begin chapter 13 in the third canto. What's just happened prior to the beginning of 13? Obviously, chapter 12, but what's just happened? Yes, and what happened right before that? I mean, not directly. Anyone remember anything else from the previous chapter? Anyone remember anything else? Yes. Yes, he became attracted by his own daughter. Anyone remember anything else? Yes.
He gave up that syllable music.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Then from Lord Brahma came two bodies, Manu and Chakravarti.
Yes, right at the end. And the first creation in this, the saga creation, secondary creation of Lord Brahma was whom? Four Kumaras, yes. They came first. I always found it interesting when reading this part to hear how soon as Brahma started creating, there was the four Kumaras, and that was good? Yes, very good, but he didn't solve the purpose of his creation. And what was the purpose of his creation? He was attempting to populate the universe. And then, when the four Kumaras resisted getting involved in the progenitorship, creating more population, Lord Brahma became so angry, then Rudra was created. Anger. And then, Lord Brahma asked all the different Rudras to create further, or asked Rudra to create further, and indeed they did. But it was causing so much havoc that he had to ask them to stop. And what did he tell them? Yes, go somewhere for some time and perform austerities, contemplate deeply the meaning of life, go into some corner of the universe. Not you. That was her. I told her if she was going to come in, she had to sit down. And then one after another, religion, irreligion. This is the very nature of material creation. We have our dream. We have our dream, and oh, we hold that dream so dearly. It's going to happen in this way. And it's really only a dream. Oh, when I get this, and when, oh, I have a great plan, and it's going to happen so. But just the very nature of the material world is that everything that comes, good will come, bad will come, anger, this, that. It's the very nature of the material world at its core is disappointment. So is disappointment good or bad? This is a trick question. Siddhalas, what do you think, Mataji? Have I caught you? Is disappointment good or bad? Yes, but it's not a very pleasant impetus if one happens to have a direct relationship of identification with one's mind, because no one likes that kind of impetus. Even Brahma, when the four Kumaras refused to procreate, he had his plan, and they refused to cooperate with his plan. And did he say, oh, Jai, how wonderful, Krishna's mercy. Now I can take shelter of disappointment in Krishna. No, he became angry. This is the nature of the material world. There's actually only one way out of that, of course. But we won't talk more about that right now because you already know. But we'll continue with this 13th chapter where when Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, whose name was Satarupa, he was satisfied. Because this Manu, as we shall hear, he was ready to increase the population of the universe. And this was Lord Brahma's order. And they were going to cooperate. Manu was going to cooperate with his order. He felt so much gratitude. But that's jumping ahead of it. So Brahma had created these two. And then, after we've heard that at the beginning, the first verse of chapter 13, Si Suku Vacha, Nishamya Vacham Vadato, Mune Punyatamam Ripa, Buya Praritsha Koravyo, Vasudeva Kato Drita. Buya, what does buya mean? You can look. Buya. Again, Prapracha inquired, Kauravyo, he inquired, the best amongst the Kurus. Vidura asked, he again inquired, because this is what kept the dialogue between he and Maitreya Muni going. He was eager. He wanted to hear more. He inquired again. But about what? Vasudeva Katha Adrita. He adored. Prabhupada will speak about the word adrita in the purport. He adored, he desired so deeply in the core of his heart to hear about Vasudev, about Krishna. So he inquired again, katamrita, Vasudeva katha adrita. He adored that Lord, so he inquired further. Here is Prabhupada's translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, after hearing these most virtuous topics from the sage Maitreya, all these most virtuous topics from the sage Maitreya, Vidura inquired further on the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he adored to hear. Why did he adore to hear these topics? Why? Think, why did he adore to hear it? He's a devotee. More. Think, why did he adore to hear it?
He was actually in Yamaraj. He was a great soul.
Yes. But how does that... Why did he adore to hear this? He was a devotee.
It was giving him life.
It was giving him life. Why was it giving him life? Yes. Yes. You're. Yes, yes. Everyone's right. Why? From? Yes, oh, I had, yes. Yes, why else? Why did it reduce it?
When you love someone, you want to hear
them. Yes, and especially this person. Why did it allow him to feel connected? Yes, because Krishna is here in the Bhagavatam. But he was taking shelter so deeply of the realized vibration coming from the mouth, the lotus mouth of Maitreya Muni, who had heard all these topics directly from Krishna himself. The saffron dust of the Lord's lotus feet was penetrating his heart as he heard. And he was associating with Krishna. It was solace. It was life. It was Krishna. He was pure. The speaker was pure. Is this wonderful? Yes, it's wonderful. It gives us hope and aspiration. Yes, we want to hear in such a way, and we want to speak in such a way that Krishna himself will manifest, and everyone's heart will be touched, and one's own, the speaker's heart will be touched. By what? By the lotus feet of Krishna, by Krishna Katha. So this kind of Katha comes amongst the devotees. So we'll read Prabhupada's purport, short purport. The word adrita, what does the word adrita mean? one who so adores, one who adores, is significant because it indicates that Vidura had a natural inclination for hearing the transcendental message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was never fully satisfied, though continuing to hear those topics. Just imagine, and Maharaj Prickett certainly was in that position. He wanted to hear more and more and more, and his very life was at stake. I see with myself that I chant like I have forever, and that I have so many other important things to do. I hear and speak in that mood. But Parikshit Maharaj could not afford to be in such a superficial, buhushaka, many-branched mood. He was going to die. And Vidura, on the other hand, was feeling such deep separation from Krishna that he needed that nourishment, or otherwise he would die. Such intense devotion he had. So he was never fully satisfied, though continuing to hear those topics. He wanted to hear more and more, so that he could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. As I was going through the somewhat simple purports of this section up to text 17, I was also feeling somewhat bereft and needing instructions and needing association from Prabhupada and him to tell me something that I could apply or direct my life. And here is one of the things I found. He wanted to hear more and more so that he could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. Does anyone feel that they have sufficient blessings? No. Wow, I'm being somewhat presumptuous. But naturally a devotee feels so needy. So needy. More and more blessings. Well, blessings from whom? From Prabhupada, from the great acharyas who have commented. Blessings from Sukadeva, blessings from Maitreya, blessings from Suta Goswami. He wanted to hear more and more so that he could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. So there's an opportunity in these books, an opportunity to gain more and more blessings, more and more instructions. I've heard Prabhupada say that the blessings of the spiritual master are his instructions. We tend to want something seemingly externally more mystical that will make our path easy. And yes, that's there by the prayers and blessings of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. But here is the first practical manifestation of that. Instructions. Do this. Do this strongly. You want blessings? Do this. Hear more and more. Well, what do you do if you don't feel like hearing? Yes, thank you. Excuse me? Yeah. That's good advice. Sometimes we even have to just sit there and listen attentively. Find some way to focus the mind on Krishna, even though we may not be getting a particular taste at that particular moment. If we pray to Krishna, if we pray to the Bhagavatam, some mercy will come. He wanted to hear more and more, so that he would be more, could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. So that was the first verse. A very difficult verse in purport, but very important, like each of the verses in purports. So Vidura said, "O great sage," he was listening, so he had a question. what happened next, basically? What did Swayambhuva, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? What did he do? O best of the virtuous. Now the next two verses we'll put together because they speak about Vidura's questions and Prabhupada's purports speak about not only the importance of hearing about Krishna, but the importance about hearing about the devotees, the pure devotees of Krishna. Now, after I read these two verses and purports, I'm going to ask you what you remember. So please listen carefully. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari. And thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. Purport to 3. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely, the development of devotional service. What do you remember from that, without looking? Only a few lines, but so important. What do you remember? Why? Why? Why is there no difference? Spiritual master? Yes. Talking specifically about pure devotees. Yes. External manifestation? Yes. So you're saying that when the pure devotee speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also the Lord. The devotees have a shakti. They actually are they have the authority, power of attorney, so to speak, on behalf of the Lord. They're carrying his kripa shakti. Also, they're carrying his mercy. This is Krishna. This is how Krishna shows his mercy through the devotees. So in that sense, there's no difference between the devotees. And the Lord, for all the reasons that the devotees said. And the Prabhupada's purport to the fourth verse. The verse was, persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their heart of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. Here's Prabhupada's purport. I'm going to ask you what strikes you most in this purport. Thank you. Transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. Not only must they hear about the activities of the Lord, but they must also hear about the transcendental qualities of the devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment. Undoubtedly, the Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures, but they hardly know about it because they are deluded by the illusory material energy. The devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord, and therefore they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as glorious as the Lord. They are, in fact, recommended by the Lord as more worshipful than He Himself. Worship of the devotee is more potent than worship of the Lord. It is therefore the duty of the transcendental students to hear of pure devotees, as explained by similar devotees of the Lord, because one cannot explain about the Lord or His devotee unless one happens to be a pure devotee himself. Anyone like care to say something they remember from that struck them? Yes. I'm sorry. Where is that one? Just see. Who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the Vedas is austerity of the mind. Yes. Anyone else remember something that struck them? Yes. Thank you. Anyone else remember something? Yes. Constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their heart, constantly fixed in that. The line that struck me most, the devotees, right in the middle, the devotees, different from the non-devotees who don't perceive the Lord within their hearts even though He's there, the devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord. Just that line really struck me. Not even a full sentence, but they realize the presence of the Lord. This is one of the endeavors of an aspiring devotee to somehow or another realize the presence of the Lord. He is everywhere. He's in everything. He's in every action. Nothing is separate from Him. But to realize that, to realize His affectionate dealings. This is what it means to be a devotee. Even in a difficult circumstance, to realize the presence of the Lord in the good circumstances, but even in the most difficult circumstances. So because the devotees can do this, because they have the proper adhikar, they have the proper devotional qualifications, they can actually perceive the presence of the Lord in every circumstance. And therefore, because of that, and of course, and therefore, they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their heart. So, Lord Brahma says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Very deep qualification for this. Yet, Prema Pamarto Mahan. This is our striving, our deepest striving. And not to be satisfied. We can't actually be satisfied until we achieve this. It's impossible to be satisfied. So he's asking, Vidura is asking to hear about Swayambhuva Manu, a pure, great devotee. And we won't actually hear how, we'll hear more about Manu and what he does, but quite a bit later in the third canto, after he returns to his kingdom, after he performs so much of his duty already, he's been asked to help populate the universe, and he does that, and then when he's trying to get his daughter married, his daughter Devahuti to the sage Kardama Muni, and then when he returns to his home, we'll hear actually at that time how he's satisfied the instructions that Brahma is going to give him. So Sukadeva Goswami said, the personality of God, he's going to describe what happened. Sri Krishna was pleased to place his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura because Vidura was very meek and gentle. This is an ocean of a topic in and of itself. Does anyone know when Krishna placed his lotus feet upon the lap of Vidura from the Mahabharata? Does anyone know? Yes. Yes, he refused to eat the food that Duryodhana had given him. He went there as a peace messenger. He joked, he did this and that before he got down to his business. But then he refused to eat the feast they had prepared for him. And he went to the house of Vidura because Vidura was such an exalted devotee. And he placed his lotus feet in Vidura's lap. And Vidura massaged those lotus feet of Krishna. He chose the humble abode of Vidura over the opulent palace of Duryodhana. Because why? Because Vidura was a devotee and loved for Krishna. This is at the essence. Somehow or another, how will we get love for Krishna? How we develop our affection for Krishna? Vidura had that. He's asking these questions. He was meek. He was gentle. The sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words and being influenced by his spirit, he attempted to speak in the word by words. It describes Praristaroma, his hairs were standing up in ecstasy. Maitreya was thinking that Vidura, this person who has such deep love for Krishna, is asking me these questions. Vidura had placed his, on his lap Krishna's lotus feet, and hearing this, Maitreya's hairs were standing up in ecstasy. Just thinking that this person is right before me. And he attempted to speak. He was inspired, Prabhupada explains. The personality of Godhead was pleased to dine sometimes with Vidura at his home, and while resting he placed his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura. Maitreya was inspired by the thought of Vidura's wonderful fortune. The hairs of his body stood on end. Because he was such an exalted devotee, he tasted just by remembering this pastime, the ecstasy, and his hair stood on end. Now Maitreya is going to begin to answer. Question was, tell me more. The sage Maitreya said to Vidura, after his appearance, Manu, the father of mankind, along with his wife, thus addressed the reservoir of all Vedic wisdom, Brahma, with obeisances and folded hands. You are the father of all living entities and the source of their subsistence because they are all born of you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. O worshipful one, please give us your direction for the execution of duty within our working capacity so that we can follow it for fame in this life and progress in the next. This purport of 7 is very interesting. A son's duty is not only to make the father the source of supply for all his needs, but also, when he is grown up, to render service to him. That is the law of creation beginning from the time of Brahma. A father's duty is to bring up the son until he is grown. And when the son is grown up, it is his duty to render service unto the father. Now, Prabhupada's going to speak about this more in his purport to the 9th verse, so we won't talk about it right now. And in 8, Manu asked questions. Please tell us how we can serve you. He trusts that by serving Lord Brahma, he will advance. And the indications here, fame in this life, progress in the next. This is the general concept of something that's favorable for the ordinary people of this world. They want fame, they want prosperity in this life. And if they do believe in the next, certainly they want a better situation in the next. Prabhupada's purport to 8. Brahma is the direct recipient of Vedic knowledge from the personality of Godhead, and anyone discharging his entrusted duties in disciplic succession from Brahma is sure to gain fame in this life and salvation in the next. The disciplic succession from Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya, and it descends as follows. Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhva Muni, Punapragya, Madhvacharya, Padmanab, Nrihari, Madhva, Akshobhya, Jayatirtha, Gyanasindhu, Dayanidhi, Vidyanidhi, Rajendra, Jayadharma, Purushottam, Brahmanyatirtha, Vyasatirtha, Lakshmipati, Madhavendrapuri, Isharapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srup Damodar, and Sri Rupa Goswami and others, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnas Kaviraj, Narottama Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorkashore Das Babaji, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. This line of disciplic succession from Brahma is spiritual, whereas the genealogical succession from Manu is material, but both are on the progressive march towards the same goal of Krishna consciousness. Lord Brahma replied, so Maitreya is repeating the reply of Brahma. My dear son, he's asked him, what service can I do for you? My dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. You've surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. Fully, in other words. Prabhupada's purport. The relationship between the Father and the Son is always sublime. Is that true in Kali Yuga? Very rarely. Because so many problems that the individual victims of Kali Yuga have begin with difficult relationship with their parents. Indeed, parents nowadays, if they don't want to have a child and a child is in the womb, they'll even kill the child. Unwanted children. Parents too busy because of having to earn money to take care of the children. Parents who themselves were in a difficult situation when they were growing up, so they really don't know how to be a parent. So they have to read books on parenting and this and that. Children sexually abused by their parents. Oh, this is Kali Yuga, divorce, which scars the children so miserably and horribly. Kali Yuga, it attacks this very naturally sublime relationship between parents and their children and ruins it, and it ruins the foundational consciousness of the children, and then they grow up to be disturbed adults. And then, please chant Hare Krishna, and your life will be sublime. Well, it may take some time, because everyone is so disturbed in Kali Yuga. We should understand the depth of this disturbance. This is the way things are supposed to be. And in Kali Yuga, nothing is the way it's supposed to be. And Everyone is thinking that we're making progress. It's progress towards hellish life, really. But in the name of progress, so many terrible things happen. In any case, Prabhupada continues, the father is naturally disposed with goodwill towards the son, and he is always ready to help the son in his progress in life. But in spite of the father's goodwill, the son is sometimes misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. Sometimes the father, in an ideal situation, wanting just what's good for the son, but the son is not ready to take it, the advice. He wants to be independent. Every living entity, however small or big he may be, has the choice of independence. If the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. So there is deep spiritual truth in this as well. The father and son relationship is exhibited here in the dealings between Brahma and Manu is excellent. Both the father and the son are well qualified. So there is the key in a perfect relationship. The father is qualified, the son is equally as qualified. The father is qualified to properly instruct and guide, and the son is submissive. And their example should be followed by all humankind. I found this purport so interesting. Listen to what Prabhupada said. Manu, the son, unreservedly asked the father Brahma to instruct him, and the father, who was full of Vedic wisdom, was very glad to instruct. The example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind, and that will advance the cause of the relationship of fathers and sons. Just imagine, nowadays, in this devastation called Kali Yuga, and this is just the beginning of it. They have meetings in the West, many places, the men's groups and fathers trying to get their relationships together with their sons, very deeply traumatic, really traumatic for both father and sons. And if we go there with the advice is you should just follow what Manu did and surrender to your father, the sons will say, what? You don't know what my father is like. He's not qualified. He did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. He beat me, he did this, that, this and that. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means damned if you do and damned if you don't. Surrender to someone who is unqualified like that? Not surrender means also something so difficult in the mentality of the children of Kali Yuga. So what Prabhupada was really trying to do, and it was the most incredible of tasks, he really wanted to re-spiritualize the entire world, because now it is going in a direction that is terrible. And even the most basic, simplest thing that 70 years ago you could say with no difficulty, fathers should listen to their sons. Excuse me, now that's what you have to say. Now you have to say fathers have to listen to their sons. But just a few decades ago, you could say, sons should listen to their fathers, and now it's even something so simple is so complicated. How Kali Yuga is progressing so quickly. The theory of evolution has added to this, because according to the theory of evolution, who's more evolved, the fathers or the sons? Who? Who is further, progress further? The fathers don't even know how to, they don't even know what, how to program their computers properly. They're so out of it. And the sons are supposed to listen to them? Kali Yuga makes everything so bad. So Prabhupada really had a very big mission for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A very, very, very big... It was so bold. It wasn't actually to start a few temples and to make a few devotees. It was to re-spiritualize the entire Western civilization and revitalize the culture of India. Very, very big. Very big vision and plan. He continues, Brahma continues speaking to Manu. O hero, your example is quite befitting a son in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. And what does Kali Yuga do? It ruins. It makes authorities corrupt. Authority becomes corrupt. Every authority, from the parents to the government, to the prime ministers, to the this government leader, that everything is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. So therefore, no one wishes to have any adoration for those in the position of authority. The politicians of the world, are they esteemed and thought of as wonderful? No, they did a poll that in Australia, and politicians were seen on the level of people who sell used cars and lawyers for dishonesty. For dishonesty. The least, no one wants to enter politics as a field of integrity, or very rare. I was speaking with Brahmatirtha Prabhu in Gainesville, Florida, and he deals with the local politicians a lot. And he told me 50% of the local politicians seem quite moral and have integrity. And the other 50%, no integrity. 50% seems sincere, he said. But this is the beginning of Kali Yuga, that 50% of insincerity will rise. So there's such important instructions here. Such important instructions. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. One who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity. But how difficult it is to preach in Kali Yuga. You say these words and immediately 70% of the people will stand up and say, you said that we should listen to our fathers, but my father was like this and like this and adore the leaders and adore the people in authority. How difficult it is to preach in Kali Yuga. How difficult. It is the greatest austerity, yet that austerity is so much appreciated by Krishna. And that was so much why Prabhupada put preaching at the center of ISKCON, and as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had put preaching at the center of his Gaudiya Math, because we need in Kali Yuga, we don't have the piety, the purity of heart, the purity of mind, the purity of body, to sit down and just chant Hare Krishna like the great sages of old. We need some special help. And that special help comes by Krishna's grace if whatever our realizations are, we preach to others, share them with others. And preaching one's realizations, Prabhupada explained in one letter, is the basic secret in Krishna consciousness. He said that for preaching. He said that even if all you can say is all this chanting is very nice, or the people who chant are very nice, that will have potency, because if that's what you realize. So preach. How difficult it is in Kali Yuga. Text 11. Since you are my very obedient son, here's his order. I ask you to beget children qualified like yourself in the womb of your wife. Rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus worship the Lord by performance of jagya. Three things. You have children, good God-conscious children, like you are God-conscious, have children infused with that mentality. First, second, rule the world under the principles of God consciousness, devotional service, religious principles, and perform jagya. And you perform jagya, offer sacrifices to please the Lord. You teach in this way. Text 12. O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Very important. How to get Krishna to be somehow pleased with us. That is the meditation of someone who is practicing devotional service, Bhagavad Dharma. How can I act so that Krishna will be pleased with me? This is at the core. We heard about the creation, one of the essential points that we really must understand about the creation is this point about false ego. It is the first thing. The whole material existence is based on this, on false ego. From false ego, everything. It combines with the mode of goodness and the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And everything in material existence basically comes from false ego, combined with each of the three modes of material nature. It all springs from false ego. It's the heart of material existence. It's the core of our own personal material existence. It's turning our back on Krishna, placing our false self in the center of existence. And that requires quite a generous helping of illusion, of maya, to think of me as the center of existence. How much illusion do I have to be in? I couldn't get anyone in the whole world to if we had a vote, no one would agree with this. Not one person. I'm the center of existence, but this is at the very heart of conditioned life. This feeling of oneself as the center, that's called ahankar. Ahankar vamudatma, kartaham, etimanyute. The very center of material existence is the sense of separateness from Krishna and the sense of being the center. And therefore, when we criticize karma, jnana, and yoga and glorify bhakti, it is basically because bhakti gets to the root of the problem. Karma, jnana, yoga move us to get eventually to the root of the problem if one practices properly. But bhakti brings one to the root of the problem right in the beginning, right at the time of initiation or the beginning. Starts with Jeev Krishna Das, E Vishwas, Kale No, Kala Dukho Nai. Everything is finished. All material existence is finished. If we just accept this one point that I am not the center of existence and my sense of false ego is not really me, but I am Krishna's servant eternally. Nitya Krishna Das. Krishna Nitya Das. I am Krishna's. This is who I am. This is me. And Krishna is the center of existence. And my business is to somehow please him. So from that perspective, let's just read again that last line of the verse. 12. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. There is some hint in there. And Prabhupada's purport very much speaks about the importance of the rulers of society. How much weight rests upon the government leaders, especially the prime government leaders, be it president or prime minister or king, to guide the citizens properly in this direction, to protect them. Protect them from what? From sin, yes, from... from misusing their lives, from going down. At least let everyone go forward in their spiritual life, and therefore the Vanashrama system is in place just for this. But it's not only for the king. If every devotee does according to his capacity, will take this up as very important. It's so important to protect conditioned souls, and in protecting others, something miraculous happens. And what is that miraculous thing? Did you want to say? No. What miraculous thing happens when one, even though one feels so weak, and how can I protect anyone else? I'm the one who needs protection. I'm the one who needs protection, and here I'm being asked to protect others. Yeah. Has anyone had that experience when one feels very unprotected and weak and unqualified, and you have to do something that requires helping another? And the last thing in the whole world, if you made a list of all the things you'd like to do in this world, the very last thing would be to help somebody else. And that's just what you're being asked to do. And then you do it, and then what happens? Has anyone had that experience? Raise your hand if you had that experience. I won't. Even I, everyone but Sankirtan has had that experience. Huh? Oh, okay. Yes, reflect. It's something very good to reflect on. Something so important to reflect on. A little extra way to get some mercy from Krishna. Some extra protection. And in Kali Yuga, everyone feels so unprotected. Kali Yuga is a very frightening, frightened and frightening. Doshanadhe. And then, because we feel that we need so much protection and help ourselves in Kali Yuga, we tend to keep self-centered about things. And the result of being self-centered is that our needs seem to just increase. Not that we don't need our own help and protection, and we should take what we need, but we should also help others. Text 13. So, Brahma is continuing to tell Manu what to do. He's given him instructions how to rule, to create a kingdom, to rule it according to dharma, devotional service, and to perform jagas, sacrifice to please the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. Act to please Him. If He is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. Again, the same point. Somehow satisfy Him. Somehow pull our selfish self, or my selfish self, from this illusory center of existence in my illusory universe, in my Maya. Somehow get out of this and please Him. He is the ultimate self. Please the self. But yes, understand that He is the ultimate self. And therefore, one who does not satisfy Him certainly neglects his own interests. Manu replied, O powerful Lord. So he said, rule. Do these things. Do your duty, but do it for the pleasure of the Lord. And in this way, Manu said, O powerful Lord, O killer of all sins, I shall abide by your order. Now please let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me. You've asked me to propagate children, where will that place be? O Master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great order, because it is the dwelling place for all the living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord. So what had happened, somehow or another, while the creation was going on, the earth had fallen into the Garbhodak ocean, which is the ocean that fills half the universe, where Lord Vishnu is resting upon that, and the earth had fallen within that. And how could Manu do his service? He didn't have the facilities. It's also interesting to note that he asked for the facilities to do his service. He didn't have the power to do it without the facilities. So he pointed out to Brahma that when the situation doesn't allow it, so therefore, by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord, please pick this earth up that has fallen into the Garbhodak ocean and place it so I can do my service that you've requested me. Sri Maitreya said, thus seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. It wasn't a simple thing, even for Brahma. One would think that Brahma has unlimited power, but he couldn't just lift the earth. Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Prabhupada's very short purport is very interesting. The devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties. What does perplexed mean? Confused. More, what does perplexed mean? Disturbed. Puzzled. Unsure how to proceed. What else? Perplexed.
Indecisive.
I'm supposed to perform this service, this duty. Wow, how am I going to possibly do this? So they're sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. Wow.
What bit you?
Oh, jiva.
Some jiva, bitten by a jiva. A little, those little brown red ones. Let's talk about ants biting people right now. Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. Yes. They're never discouraged, but they can be perplexed. But not discouraged. What does that mean to you? Well, let me read the last sentence, and then I'll open up for that question. They have full faith in the Lord, and He paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. What does that mean, practically speaking? Think. Think, because it's easy, not easy, but to theoretically understand this is simple, like so many things in Krishna consciousness. But to apply it is very hard. What makes it hard? We'll start with that. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up with theoretical answers. What makes it hard? What makes it hard? Think. Yes, think. What makes it hard to do this? What are we being requested to do? Let's start there. We're getting an instruction, an important instruction on how to proceed in our spiritual life. What is that instruction? With obstacles, we can become, in the orders that we have, prescribed duties from our spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas, we can become discouraged. And what, there's a stage before the discouraged, and what is the one? Okay, facing the obstacles. Okay, there's a stage between facing the obstacles and becoming discouraged, that happens.
Yeah. Think we have to do it ourselves.
Yes. Well, that's there's a perplexity. There's the obstacles. Okay. When we're young devotees, first set up, oh, Jai, Chan, Hare Krishna. I remember when, in 1968, I was visiting, Prabhupada was visiting 26 2nd Avenue. 69, perhaps. Maybe 68. And I remember, and Prabhupada had just established a GBC. And Rupanuga, this is first, when he was first talking about it, and he even appointed people in 68. And Rupanuga Prabhu, who had introduced me to chanting, more or less, and he came out of Prabhupada's room and he was named as one of the GBC men. And I said to him something, I started immediately thinking, I have a very peculiar mind, I immediately started thinking what the purpose of the GBC was, to manage in Prabhupada's absence, and how long was Prabhupada going to be on this planet. So I thought, I hope there's at least one, I said this to Rupa, and I hope there's at least one pure devotee there on the GBC if Prabhupada's not on this planet. And he replied, in 10 years I think everyone will be pure devotees. So when we first begin chanting, this is the Yuga Dharma, full enthusiasm, it will take maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, 6 months, a year maybe. Mahaprabhu's mercy, chanting Hare Krishna is so nice, the whole world, we used to think the whole world would be Krishna conscious within a few years. And then obstacles come up. Obstacles come up. And then we get perplexed. Our own Krishna consciousness can become threatened by these obstacles. What are some of the obstacles? I'll say one right now. Doubts. Another obstacle. Yeah, you see that you have so many desires, actually. Other desires. Other obstacles. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of four categories of obstacles. Anartas, can be said. Anartas is also one of them. Weakness, lack of knowledge, aparad. Obstacles. That stop us from getting a taste in the holy names, etc. And then we become perplexed. How can I do this? And then we become discouraged. Or we can be discouraged. The mode of ignorance. Discouragement is born of ignorance. So what are we being asked to do? The pure devotees, the confidential servitors, intimate servitors, empowered servitors, they may get perplexed, but they are never discouraged. Why? How is that possible? What is the difference between them and me? They have full faith in the Lord, and He paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. So we think, great, I'll have full faith in the Lord. Here's an obstacle that's come up in my devotional service. I'll have full faith. Boom, it's gone, right? No, not right. Because why? Because we're not in control. Krishna does what he likes according to his own schedule. Prabhupada was given the order to preach in English in what year? 36. He started Back to Godhead magazine preaching in English. He tried to preach in this way. He tried to preach in that way. Did everything just magically happen perfectly? According to the storybook, in the end there was a storybook ending in one sense. But how much difficulty, how much patience, how much determination, how much full faith. How much faith? Full faith. Because we're not in control. We wish when we obstacle, okay, Krishna, full faith, you'll now remove it. Thank you, Krishna. I'll call you next time I need you. After all, I'm serving you. Therefore, your job is to remove, when I snap, maybe I'll be more polite than snapping. I'll pray. Oh, Krishna, there's an obstacle here. Please remove it. When Prabhupada took sannyas, one of the first things that happened is that he was gored by a bull. He said, what is this? What is this? Maybe we want gore, but we don't want that kind of gore. Full faith. Full. What's full faith? What does it mean to you? Untrusting, or trusting in something sublime, full faith. What does it mean? Full surrender. It means also nowhere else to go. Shraddha sabre vishvas kore srudritya nischoy Krishna bhakti kaila sarva kama krita hoy. It means surrender. You said surrender, yes? Yes. You are my hope. However you want to deal with me, it's up to you. to advance Krishna consciousness. Surrender is where bhakti really begins. And yet he paves the way for the smooth progress of a devotee's duty. Just like Maharaj Prickett, his smooth progress of ruling the kingdom. Krishna made it so smooth. Yes? Did Krishna make Maharaj Prickett's ruling the kingdom so smooth? What do you think? What do you think? Was it so smooth to be cursed to die within 7 days? Full faith. They have full faith, and therefore they are confidential. When someone, if you have the deepest secret in your heart, the deepest secret, will you reveal that to someone who you have partial faith in or full faith in? Rhetorical question, because the answer is obvious. Full faith, sudritta nishchay. This is the price. Questions, comments? Did you go till 1:30? No, you did you go for a full 2 hours? Yes, I understand. Well, there's a particular point that there's a point. And the point being made is that it would, if a son and a daughter get married, if a person's son and daughter marry each other, Svayambhuva Manu and Satyarupa got married. So on one level, they're not sons and daughters. Because this is something very, very wonderful. So to remove that misgiving from our mind, it can be referred to in that way. It's illicit for a man's son and daughter to marry each other. Something extraordinary, not something to be imitated.
Right. That's why it's referred to without any aspects of son and daughter.
That's my understanding. Who?
Five of us lamas.
It is. Svayambhuva Manu is one of the Mahajanas. But he's. When we read purports, we have to read them in a context of of specific points that are being made. But later on, when Svayambhuva Manu goes home, it'll glorify him as a great devotee. He's performing jagya for Krishna's pleasure, but it's making the distinction here, I believe, that when one is performing devotional service, one can give up his vanashrama duties for the pleasure of Krishna, because the purpose of vanashrama is ultimately to please Krishna. So if one is pleasing Krishna directly, one doesn't have to perform those duties if pleasing Krishna entails giving up those duties. But in fact, Svayambhuva Manu's pleasing Krishna was performing those duties. This type of thing happens again and again. Even with Priyavrata, in the fifth canto will happen. Well, he was a renunciant, and he had to take up being the king. So which is higher, karma or renunciation of duties? It depends really what Krishna wants. It happens so many times. So what's the answer to that? Why are they glorified? It's their nature, their inspiration, it was... They're actually incarnations. They're incarnations of specific potency of the Lord to perform that particular service. But ultimately we have to say this is Krishna's desire. I have to say it is Krishna's desire. So by following Krishna's desire, so one person... By following Krishna's desire, he's doing one thing. The spiritual master's desire. Another person is doing another thing. If one person says, well, because I've been asked to do this, therefore everyone should do this. They had a higher principle by Krishna's potency entering into them. They were infused with jnana shakti. And oh, we're going to meet them very soon again. See, this 13th chapter is the beginning of a very wonderful story. And it will take some turning and twisting and turning. But this story will take us to Vaikuntha and we'll regain the audience of the four Kumaras. And their jnana shakti is going to be topped with bhakti very soon. Oh, we're going to visit Vaikuntha and oh, we'll enjoy. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Bhachaya Muni Vidura ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.